Father, we bless Pastor Steve and Cammie as they're on their trip to Tampa for family, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless them. I ask you, Father, to bring the rest of God to them, Lord. Let them hear your voice, know your ways. Father, let them experience. Father, let them hear anew, afresh and anew today from you. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. And Pastor's on a trip, and so you guys get me this morning. Oh, yeah, thank you. Oh, great. I got Becky passing it around to Yolanda. Who's next? What do you think, Yolanda? Look, now we're passing it around. All right. I'm gonna pray, and we'll start. And if you all bring tacos in here, then you do what you do, and I'm going to pretend I don't know and that I didn't spend all those years as the church janitor cleaning up after you. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that the anointing breaks the yoke, Lord. I thank you, Father, that none of it. I just feel your presence so strong this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that you're here. I thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. I thank you for the offering. I thank you for the people coming and giving and serving. I thank you for every person this morning who has served, who has laid down their life, who have given their time away, Father, for you. And I thank you for it this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart, Lord, that would understand, Father, and that none of us, not one person, would come into this place today and leave the same way, Lord, but we would have felt the touch. Father, we would have felt your choosing and your acceptance, Father, and that we would leave stronger, we would leave more fulfilled, more satisfied, happier, rejoicing on the way, Lord. Father, so that our testimony that we leave here today was is that we once again, we met Jesus, he touched my life, and I've got to tell somebody about what he's done. Today, Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, or as pastor probably about a month now, has just been kind of just... Oh, Lord, I thank you. Has just, I forgive you. Eat the tacos. Pastor has been talking about forgiveness and has just kind of just been... And it just has... For more than a month has just settled on me how great his forgiveness is. Now, I've been saved since 1981, so I'm not talking about the forgiveness that brings you into salvation, that brings you in, as Larry spoke so wonderfully the first service, about the acceptance and the chosen of God. I'm not talking about that kind of forgiveness. That forgiveness is the greatest forgiveness you'll ever know. When he takes you out of darkness and propels you into the Son of his love, into the light that, but that forgiveness is so great, it is not fathomable by your mind, okay? But God has just been, for weeks, every scripture, every time I start reading, everything is laced with his forgiveness. Everything that I see is, and the funny thing is the more that I see scripture, the more I look at the scripture, the more I meditate on it, the more God gives me opportunity to walk it out. Yeah, I mean, that's just honest and true. He's not making scripture alive so that you can feel good about him just talking to you. Right? Because if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, right? So he's not just talking to you so you'll go, wow, God told me something. Right? He's saying something so you'll do something. Okay? That's always the gospel. Okay? He doesn't talk to you without having a reason why he said something. And just as an example, I was you know, I'd put some stuff on Craigslist, some things we wanted to get rid of, and for Candace for her trip to London. And I said, whatever we get, we'll sew into your trip. And so we put all this stuff out there, and most of it, I don't want it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, you know, but I had this lady all week, since the beginning of the week. Monday sent me an email. Oh, I really want that white cabinet. I'm like, great, come get it. Couldn't make it. Tuesday, I really want that white cabinet. Can I come over today? I said, yeah, come after this time when I get off work. Can't make it. Wednesday, I really want that white cabinet. I says, I'm at church on Wednesday night. I can't help you. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not leaving here to run home to give you the cabinet. Come on Thursday. She says, I'll be out of town. How about Friday? I said, Friday's fine. Friday, finally set a time. She calls me, she texts me back right at when she's supposed to be here at my house. She's supposed to be there. She texts me back and says, oh, my dad got called out to work, had to take the truck, so I couldn't come get it. I'm like, how about tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? It's Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, I'm out working in my garage. All of a sudden, this van pulls up, and it's a Rooter, like one of those Roto-Rooter guys. It's not that name brand. I don't know what the name brand was. But this guy shows up, and he goes, hey, I'm here to pick up the cabinet for my daughter. I'm like, great. So he looks at the cabinet. He says, that's perfect. And he's going to stick it in the, I don't know if you've ever seen a Rooter truck. It's got, like, all kinds of stuff in there. And he's like, I'm going to put it in there. I'm like, well, it's not mine once you pay me. I don't care what you do with it. You know, but I didn't say that. I thought it. Yeah. You know, I have enough self-control to not say it. But so the guy says, so he goes, hey, you know, here's my card. If you ever need any rooting, he goes, and you will. I'm like, no, I won't. I don't, trust me, I don't want any plumbing problems. Don't confess it over me. I don't care if you're blessing me or curse me. I don't want it. My plumbing works great. I don't want any problems. But I said, I will take it. I says, because I said, I'm a pastor at a church. And I says, occasionally, in the midst of conferences and moves of Holy Spirit, our toilets have trouble. So I'll take your card. And he says, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah. And he said, he looks at me, just looks me square in the eye. This is in the driveway. You know, he looks me square in the eye. He goes, is Holy Spirit there? And the same look back at him with utter confidence, I said, guaranteed. He goes, do you have lively music? I went, yes, we do. I said, do you like flags? Do you like dodging flags? Do you like dancers? I says, we got dancers. He goes, dancers? I'm like, come on out. He goes, really? He comes back, goes, really? Will Holy Spirit be there? And I went, guaranteed. And so I told him, you come tomorrow. I said, come tomorrow. Gave him the address, gave him the time. He didn't come. Good for him, bad for him. It's not his thing. But I told him, I said, you come. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit, you come talk to me. I said, because if you don't feel him here, where else are you going to feel him? I mean, I am so confident. So then I got here this morning, and I'm in the first service, and I haven't even got to my notes, and we'll get to that. I'm in the service, and we're in the midst of worship, first service, and I'm just worshiping God, and all of a sudden, I felt like a flutter go by. Now, I preface this, you all know me. I don't say something unless it was me, okay? So all of a sudden, I felt this flutter go by. And I kind of peeked out of my one eye to look to see if maybe a dancer went by or a flag. Just being honest. And yet, there was nobody there. And there was just this movement. And so I said, because again, I am not always saying what it is. I don't know. And I learned this really great thing from Richard. I just asked God. I said, God, what was that? He said, that was angels. I said, well, thank you. I said, there's angels in the house. There's angels in the house. And I said, oh, thank you, God. No sooner did that happen, and I don't know how to explain this. I'll explain it the best I can with my words. All of a sudden, my knees felt like the ground had shifted. Okay? I felt that that thing, and my knees kind of went like that. And in my spirit, I heard what sounded like a thud. Okay? And I was trembling. I said, God, what was that? And he said, I just showed up. And I said, God, what do you want me to do with that? He said, don't do anything with that. I went, okay. And Becky gets up to do the offering. And Becky immediately says, "There's God's here in his fullness, I believe. And that was the confirmation. So I want to tell you today, I'm not out telling people Holy Spirit's here so they'll just come. I'm so confident when I come here that Holy Spirit's here. And then you get God kind of mixing it up in the way he does here. Right? So this morning, as we're talking, I just want to let you know, if you have a need, if you have something that God's pressed upon you, today could be your day. Because he's here. Okay? It's not because I'm saying anything wonderful and spectacular. It's because the Holy Spirit's here and Father came in full power to come to meet the need. So I say all that just because it's important to remind ourselves. We get so, I'll say me, I get so accustomed to being in this water, this river that runs through here, that sometimes I take for granted that he's really, really, really here. And so that's my encouragement this morning, is that he's really, really here. We'll start in Hebrews 10, verse 16. It says, this is the covenant that I have made with you. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in your heart, and in your mind I will write them. Then he adds, your sin and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission, which that word remission means freedom, pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, and liberty, there is no sin in lawless deeds. And there is no longer an offering for sin. So forgiveness, the fullness of forgiveness is that remission. It's the complete annihilation, the wiping out of the need to keep track of your sin and lawless deeds. 1 Corinthians 13 says concerning love that God is love and that love does not keep an account of wrongs done. Okay? So God's not up, despite our religious understanding and our traditions and the history we've been told, God is not keeping track of your sin. Okay? There's only one sin that keeps people from heaven. Larry? It's not accepting Jesus. The rest is not an issue. He will use all the rest to prove to you how many times he came to you. Okay? But he's not keeping track of it like a ledger of debt. Okay? I was talking to someone this week, and I told them, I said, you know, I believe when you stand before the presence of God. Now, believers, you don't have to worry about it. You come to the presence of God, whether it's today, this afternoon, or whether it's at the great white throne judgment when you stand before him. You'll not have to worry about judgments. He will not pour upon you. He will not show you. He will not give you a reason to look back at your past in a place of condemnation. Okay? But as an unbeliever who stands before God, what God's purpose to show them the sin was the issue was that every single time you fell, I came to you. Right? Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Okay? So every single time an unbeliever falls, sins, misses the mark, whatever you want to call it, right? Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, is right there with them, wooing them to come to know him. But most people always hear the voice of the accuser. Okay? And so that's why they live under that place of that condemnation or that weighty heaviness that comes from the accusation of the enemy and bad religious teaching. Right? Just being honest. As a church, we've told people that they're sinners, and so why do we not think they believe it? Okay? But it says here that Jesus is saying, I'm going to say it's Jesus. It's the writer of the book of Hebrews. I think it's Paul. It doesn't matter who it is. It's penned by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's saying that there's going to come a day that you're not going to have to worry about having to understand the laws of God, understand trying to put it in on your own manual method of doing it, that God himself is going to write it on your heart, right? And he's going to put it in your mind to the place where you will be able to contain it and understand it, okay? So for anybody who says, I read, but I don't get it, okay? I got one simple thing for you. Ask Holy Spirit before you start to help you with understanding. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. See, God's desire is to always talk to you. Always. So again, if you say, oh, I never hear God, ask him. Slow down. Slow down. You know what? When I'm in the midst of my chores, my wife and kids can say anything to me. I'm moving so fast, I wouldn't hear them if they were right next to me. Okay? Because I'm focused. There's too much movement in my life to slow down enough to hear. Okay? It's the same with God. If you're just moving all the time, rapid fire, go and go and go, and you say, I never hear God, slow down. Slow down. Okay? Slow down. You'll hear him. Because he's always talking. Always, 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 always. He's got nothing but time to talk to you. Because everything is already done. Right? I used to always think, oh, God's got the whole world to tell you about. No, he doesn't. Jesus said it's all done. It's finished. It's finished. Jesus is so confident. He's in the presence of God all the time, ever making intercession for you and for the world. You know what he's saying? You see what they're doing? I was enough. Father looks over and goes, he was enough. That's enough. Even for that. Yeah, ISIS, it's enough. Foolishness, got it. Road rage, got it. Doesn't matter. Comes through Jesus. He's not overanalyzing everything. He's not struggling. He has yet to fall off his throne because of the stupid things that we do. And you know what? In the midst of that, it brings me great freedom to go, okay, you're not counting my sin. You're not writing it down, keeping a ledger of my dumb mistakes. Most of my dumb mistakes are not listening to him. Okay? Most of you probably aren't willfully out there just sinning. Okay? The things you miss is because you missed the mark. You question whether you heard God in doing something and you didn't do it, and then the devil beats you up with a bag of hammers, and then you feel bad about it. Right? Well, that's just me then. Okay? But his remission, he gave us the ability to come to him, to come right smack dab into his presence at any moment, any day, any time, on a good day or your worst day. Okay? You can come right into his presence. Because right after this scripture, right after verse 16 and 17 and 18, it comes in and it says, therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Okay, that's not the old way of coming into his presence. Okay, and that's not a dead way. That's a new and living way. Jesus made it so that it was new and living. It was functional, and it would work anytime, any place, anywhere. It was going to be that easy. Okay? His consecrated Jesus consecrated it for us through the veil that is his flesh. At any point, you, because you have the remission of sin and because he's writing his law on your mind and in your heart, right, you can functionally stop your day. You can slow down even for a moment and step on in to the presence of God through the veil of his flesh. You just stop. And you know what? I do it all the time. It doesn't take, you don't need a prayer meeting. You don't need to spend hours to get ready. As a matter of fact, you're ready right now. And you were ready this morning when you first woke up. And you'll be ready the rest of the day. At any point, you just stop and say, Lord, I'm coming, and I'm coming behind the veil that is your flesh. Your blood covers me. It's no longer by my righteousness, but by the righteousness and the completed finished work of Jesus that I walk in here today. And Father, as I do, you are causing, you're sprinkling my conscience to be eliminated from dead works. Okay? So all the stuff that you think is causing God issues, he just washes it away. Okay? And then he washes your water, your body with the water of his word. He just pours it over you so that there's no issue because you've got your mind clear, you've got your body clear, and you've got your spirit is in unison with him in Christ, okay, by the blood of Jesus. And in his presence, you can just be there. You can hold fast the confession of your faith. What is that? That's the things that I've heard God say that I still haven't yet seen him do. Okay, that's what that is. So you confess it. You tell him, God, I thank you. I thank you all my kids are saved. I thank you that all my kids are prospering. I thank you that, and you just tell him. You confess it. You say it out before him. Why? Because he's faithful. It's not you who's going to do it. It's not you. It's him. Okay, so you just spend time in his presence. Okay, from that place, man, time is just rapidly going. That was the introduction. Okay. Suffice it to say, his forgiveness is instantaneous and complete every single time you come. You don't have to bring your list. Okay? You don't say, God, I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry for that. He might remind things. You might need to say some things to help this. Okay? But he doesn't need it. I know it says that if your faith, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, right? And that if we confess our sins, that's a confession this way as well as this way. But that's not the thing. When you come into his presence, you are accepted because of the finished work of Jesus. Not because you had to confess everything, say it all, do it right, stand on that foot. It's nothing. Okay, I know this will tweak your mind because I struggle with this. I go, why God? I'm a works kind of guy. I am functionally DNA made to be good at works. And religion has helped me to get better at it. I have to force myself out of an old mindset to come into the one that says, you know what? I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. I am a much loved, beloved son. And there's nothing that I can do to change that situation. Okay? So most of my sin in my life is because I functionally go back to old mindsets of doing. Like Larry said. That's not the same doing that Larry was talking about. Larry was talking about hearing the word and going and doing it. I'm talking about I just default to bad mindset that causes me to do when I should just end up being. Okay? So going on. But the love of God, the forgiveness of God is so great that every time you come into his presence, every single time, all he sees is Jesus. Because you came through the blood. Okay? You came through the veil that is his flesh. And God just goes, you're back. There's no list. There's no, hey, by the way, let me clean up this before we talk. He's like, no, come on in. Okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. We'll jump right into 38. We'll jump to 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be given. It shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given. Then there's a little colon there, okay? Change of thought. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For in the same measure in which you use, it'll be measured back to you. The same measure in which you forgive, it's the same measure in which God forgives. But he already gives way more than you ever can. Okay? See, his desire for you in forgiveness is that you're giving like he gives. Okay? He wants you to forgive and give to the fullest measure that at every moment. He wants every single time someone transgresses you, anytime someone falls short of your expectation, anytime someone misses your mark, he wants you to immediately forgive. Right? Because that's his measure. Right? That's his measure. He wants you to function in the same measure as him. Right? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and helpful to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate and understanding, forgiving one another, ready and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And I always add to that, and continues to forgive you. Right? He's ready and freely, continually forgiving you. Continually, because of the blood of Jesus, okay? He's continually pouring it out. Romans 8:28 says, 29 says, that we're to be conformed to the image of his son. See, forgiveness is so that we're not building by our standards or by our strengths, but we're building everything by his standard and his strength, okay? The goal of our life is that we end up looking, smelling, feeling, touching like Jesus. We're to be conformed to the image of his son. Okay? That's the goal. Is that your goal? That's my goal. Because I've seen through all the years of what happens when I build my way or I do it my way. And just by a reference, Proverbs says, if a backslider in his heart is filled with his own ways. So I've always looked at it now. When I'm doing something my way, I've already stepped out of the kingdom and into backsliding. You guys don't do that. That's why it doesn't bother you. It really bothers me when I find out I'm in my way. Because all of a sudden I go, oh, look, God, I'm doing all this great stuff for you. And he goes, yeah, that's okay for a backslider. I'm like, that's painful, but true. That's painful, but true, right? If I'm filled with my ways, it's all about me, not about him. It's not your kingdom come and your will be done. I want it to be my kingdom come and my will to be done. It's funny, that's what I want, but when I get it, it doesn't work anyways, right? But when you end up there, that's you have forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of stepping out of him and into your stuff. See, it's instant and ready. It's fresh. It's new. It's right there every single time. He doesn't sit down and go, oh, man, he's got three. If he just confessed these three, we could move on. He doesn't. He doesn't take an account of wrongs done to him. He doesn't. That's love. He never takes an account of wrongs done. Okay? And the goal is that you are being conformed to the image of him, like Jesus. So you should say this. I say it to myself all the time. You are being conformed into his image, and you are not taking an account of wrongs done to you. I look in the mirror in the morning and go, today you're not going to take any account of wrongs done to you. Why? Because that's the love of God inside of you. Not because I'm so great. Trust me, halfway through the day, at some point, somewhere, sometime, someone's going to miss my expectation. And in the midst of that, you have a choice to either take an account of it or just say, I choose to let that go. I'm not going to take an account of that, right? Because if love doesn't take an account of wrongs done to it, it also never exposes wrongs done to it. It covers it, lets it go. That's what that word forgiveness is, to let go, right? Remember a couple weeks ago on that Wednesday night, the paint cans? I let it go. If you don't have it, you go, paint cans? When did we paint? No, if you weren't here a couple of Wednesdays ago, look it up. I'll be the guy speaking. I talked about letting go. I talked about forgiveness. It's just letting go. Just grab a bunch of paint cans, walk around all day. At some point, you'll want to let them go. Right? That's forgiveness. It's choosing to let it go. Okay? And that's not a plug. Like, oh, go check the web. I need all the views I can get. I don't care. I don't care a bit. All right. John 16. I got a few minutes. I caught up. Good. John 16, 12 through 14. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That word bear, right? There's much to tell you, but you can't bear it. That word bear means to lift, endure, to declare, to sustain, receive, carry, or to take up. I have a lot that I'd like to give you to take with you on the journey, but you can't bear it right now. Okay? There's a qualifier to that. You know when you can take it? When you have the Holy Spirit. Right? So there's a lot that I just started telling myself, God, you know, today I need more of Holy Spirit so that I can receive of what you want to give me on the journey. Because without it, I take it on my own strength, my own understanding, and my own ability to hold it. And Jesus just told me, you can't take it. You can't bear it. You can't bring it, sustain it, unless I have Holy Spirit. Do you think that was just when Jesus was speaking of the initial coming of Holy Spirit? No, it's every single day. It's multiple times every single day. Right? You know, do I go there? Yeah. Paul, I'm sorry, I talk to myself a lot. Sometimes I'm the only one I hear. Paul, in Romans, a lot of times we try, and again, I'm speaking of me, a lot of times I try to do something expecting to have the end result that I expected. Right? That's why I did it. Right? I didn't do it expecting to have something else. But see, Holy Spirit's there. And Holy Spirit can take Holy Spirit's so cool because he knows, according to that scripture we just read, right? He knows exactly what Father's desire is. He knows what Jesus is talking about in heaven. Right? Jesus is forever making intercession. He's forever taking the shortcomings and the failures. No, he's not taking your shortcomings and failures. He's looking down going, oh, they're supposed to be over there, but they're over here, but I can get them there. Right? That's intercession. It's making up the difference. Right? He's not pointing out the flaws. And we have to change the way we think. Holy Spirit, Jesus and Father know it's not easy to live here. right? We have an adversary who's always trying to buffet us, one, first from hearing, right? Because man shall not live by bread alone. So you've got to be able to hear what God's saying to actually live. Okay? So he knows we're being buffeted. He knows we have an enemy. He knows the trials, the temptations, the stuff that's in and around us. He knows the everything that's against you. Okay? He knows that. So no one's up there going, wow, I really thought they'd be farther along. Really thought that Jubilee would have had it right by now. No, they know that they know it. They're like, oh, it's so hard there. And when you do it on your own, there's a gap between where you are and where he wants you to be. Okay? But he's not judging the difference. He's the intercessor. He's the great high priest. He stands in that gap. Okay? And it's his job, Jesus, to speak out so that Holy Spirit, right? He just said, Holy Spirit hears what he says, right? And it's Holy Spirit's job then to go, ah, Brian's here, right? He's supposed to be. And again, don't take it literally like I'm supposed to be. The distance, the fill in the gap. He's supposed to be here. And Holy Spirit goes, Jesus, I heard you say he's supposed to be over there. And Jesus goes, yeah. He goes, Holy Spirit goes, I can get him there. I can get him over there. I don't care how big the gap is. I don't care what he's in the midst of. I don't care what it is. Holy Spirit goes, I can get him over there. I don't care if he's dumb as a bag of rocks. I can still get him over there. This guy's stubborn and works related, but I can get him over there. I might take some pain. Might have to put some pressure on him. Might have to squeeze him a little harder so he cries out. But I can get him over there. Right? Right? That's Holy Spirit's job. See, because Jesus is standing in that gap, holding that place, and he's not taking an account of my stuff. He's just taking a quick inventory. I want you over there, but you're over here. Matter of fact, he probably needs me over there so that I bring the testimony of Jesus there. Right? But I'm just like on my own way, just like, oh, how'd I get here? And the Holy Spirit's like, no, I need you over here. So I'm going to put a little pressure on your life. It's okay. Pressure's not bad. Pressure's always, you know, I always when my kids will say, oh, my elbow hurts, I fell down, it hurts. I said, it's a good thing you knew. Imagine if you couldn't feel the pain, you wouldn't know something was wrong. Right? So pain's not bad. Pain's just the telltale flag that says there's a problem in here that you wouldn't know about. Sometimes we have to get a little bit of pressure on our lives. Not because we're bad. God's up there going, man, what a knucklehead. I'm gonna have to put the squeeze on him so he'll get it right. No, it's because I'm in my own way, and God says, I need you. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that you're in the midst of the journey. Again, it's not easy here. It's not easy. There's a lot of stuff distracting us. Man, if I have to reply to another Facebook invitation or post another picture of tacos or something. You know, there's more stuff now. All seriousness, there's more stuff now distracting us from God than there ever has been before. Right? So it's a wonder we ever get here on Sunday or Wednesday. Right? Because man, you want a word from God? I can go find you one right now on the internet. But that's not going to bring life. That's like old stale bread. Unless you hear it with your ears and understand it with your heart, and you actually turn from what you're doing, then that's just a word. It doesn't have any life. It only has life when it's spoken to you. It only will make a change in your life. It'll only cause you to get to turn and repent. And repent is just to think differently, right? That only happens when you actually hear his word for you. Right? And so all God's trying to do is shift me from my way, my thoughts, my stuff, my bad planning, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Right? All he wants me to do is get Holy Spirit to shove me along enough so that I'm in the right spot to hear. And it's not like I got to hear the right word. It doesn't matter what word it is. The word brings life. Okay? No. It's just the word brings life. Any word that you hear that God speaks to you will change you. Okay? It changes you. Why? Because it sets inside of you a place that now you're like, God's like, ah, that's what I want. That's how I want. And what that does is then immediately, because you go to try to do it on your own, right? You go back on this side. You go to try to do it on your own and you fail and find out you can't, which then every time you come to him, he forgives you for it. You get your mind washed and sprinkled so your conscience is clear before him, and you find out none of it really matters other than hearing his voice. What I do with it is Holy Spirit's job. Okay? Because if you hear the word this morning and say, I'm going to do it, have a nice time. Because you'll spend a journey over here. And we all do. I've been locked in the prison with Joseph for a long time. I know what those 2 years felt like from when the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker abandoned him and left him on his own. I know what that's like. And most of you know what it's like. Right? And it's not because someone betrayed you and got you stuck there. It's because God said, I need him there. I love what Pastor said. Totally wrecked my theology a couple weeks ago. Pastor said, yeah, Joseph was a real talented man, had a great anointing and all that. And God had to work extra hard to keep him there because he could have found a way out. And I went, what? And God had to work harder to keep him there. He had to be sold into slavery by his brothers. First thrown in a ditch. That's a bad day. Thrown in the ditch. They take your coat, they make it look like you're dead, and then they sell you off to someone else as a slave, right? Then you think, I get bought by a good man. He even recognizes my gifts and talents, gives me a good job. I actually get promoted. I actually come into a place where everything in this house that he owns, I have rulership over except one thing, his wife. Which, if you think about it nowadays, why would anybody give you rulership over that? But so he thinks, now it's good. I'm back on the favorable path with God. You know, still got dreams, still got stars and moons and everything. It's all gonna work out. I'm sure it's all gonna work. I don't need that jacket. It's all gonna work out, right? But then next thing you know, it all goes downhill fast, right? Potiphar's wife decides, takes a liking for him. I don't know if Joseph was just young and handsome and good looking or just the anointing of God. You know, could have been both. But you know what? Somehow she takes a shine to him, you know, and next thing you know, he's fleeing for his life, lift his jacket behind. Jackets get that guy in trouble. Watch where you leave your jacket. So you know what happens. The next thing you know, he's in jail, the big prison. It's Pharaoh's dungeon, you know. But his gifts and talents bring him right back to the top. Right? So see, the God-given gifts and talents that he gave him kept rising back up. Kept rising. It's the same with you. Doesn't matter what happens today. Doesn't matter you go to work tomorrow and your boss says, you know, we got to let some people go and we decided it was you. Wait, you said people and it's just me? Yeah, we just decided. You're like, but what about people? It's just you. And you'll be like, this is terrible. But you know what? Your God-given gifts and talents will rise back up. Doesn't matter what you're doing. That's why I always tell people, I say, I don't care what you're doing. Just do something.
Give God an opportunity to get you someplace because you're doing something with the gifts and talents he's given you. Don't sit around at home and go, I just wish I had a job. Yeah, they're going to come beat your door down with that attitude. That's where I'm going. So I'm looking for it. That's the guy I want. I want the guy sitting on the sofa eating chips. No, they don't. Get out there and go do something. Go serve somebody. Go look at someone in the eye and say, you know what? Until God gets me out of this place, I'm going to serve you as if you were Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pour out every good, talented gift that God's ever given me into your life to make you rich and wealthy. And you're going to watch. You're going to take over that business. He'll have to pay you. Because God will make him. I'm going long. I got on a sidetrack. How'd that happen? You know, Pastor always says forgiveness and giving are the same thing, right? Same word. Giving, you give it in advance. You make a choice. You're approving it and you're giving it in advance. Forgiveness is to take what's already been stolen or lost from you and releasing it and letting it go. Either way, it's a seed, right? You can make a choice. You can hold on to your losses. You can say, I couldn't forgive them of that. Go ahead. Carry it around a while. Not doing you any good. You know why? Because it's the seed. You're just controlling your seed. You're choosing, like you do with an offering, you're choosing to put something in the bucket, and that seed falls in the ground and dies, right? Right? Your offering chooses to fall into the ground and dies, and it'll bear much fruit, right? That's what we all want, right? Some 30, 60, 100-fold on your offering, right? But forgiveness is no different. Forgiveness is a seed, right? You can choose to let it go, relinquish it, let it go, and it falls into the ground and it dies. And then that seed bears much fruit, right? Or you can hold on to it. You know what that seed does? Absolutely nothing. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It has an adverse reaction to you and the person who you're holding the unforgiveness against. Okay? So it's better that you just go, you know what? I'm going to sow this seed of unforgiveness. I'm just going to sow it. I don't want to. Let it go. Let it go. Right? Because, and I'll end with this. Quick three. John 12:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless the seed or the grain falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. Prepare for loneliness. If you're going to be unforgiving, you'll be in a place of loneliness while you wait. But that's just a side note. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Corinthians 15:36 says, 1 Corinthians, it says, foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Right? Jump down to verse 38. And God gives it the body that he pleases. So just end with this. That seed, that thing, that unforgiveness, that thing that you've not yet lost, you've not given away, you've not sown that into the ground, right? God's looking to take that point, that place of suffering, of pain, of hardship, of loss, whatever it is, of disrespect, it doesn't matter what it is. He's looking to take that and change it. Okay, but he's got to get you. You've got to choose to let it go. You've got to choose to sow it, right? So that God can change it into the body that he pleases. Now, I don't know what that is, but that whole section is dealing with what happens after we die, right? It's talking about what your seed, your body seed will end up like, okay? But the truth is the truth is the truth. God changes the seed, right? Doesn't matter if you're thinking it as the offering you put in the bucket. If you want 30, 60, 100-fold, you know, God's the one who brings the multiplication, right? Same with unforgiveness. When you let it go and you sow that seed, it's God who's going to bring that change, not you. So when you fully let that go, let the whole thing go. Let it go. Because God then has the ability to take that seed, that which was sown, and change and bring multiplication, bring increase. It's not just for you, it's for the other person, the other circumstance, the other situation. But in so doing, that is where new life will come from. Right? So I'll end with that. Father, I thank you today. I thank you, Father, that you've given us a great high priest who stands in your presence and stands in the gap and is ever making intercession to keep us on the right track. And Father, I thank you for Holy Spirit that is constantly always adjusting my internal GPS that gets off track to get me back into the right place. Even if I get willful, even if I get stubborn, and even if I want my own way, Holy Spirit still has the way to move me back into what's right. And Father, I thank you that every single time I come into your presence, I thank you that forgiveness, remission of sin, freedom, jubilee is granted to me once again without having to hold on, without having to bring my list of wrongs done to you to get them checked off the list and get them expunged. Father, you're so gracious and so kind, and you've given us so much forgiveness. Father, I would ask this week, Lord, as we go about our way, Lord, that you would just, not from a place of condemnation, because you never work from condemnation, you only work from love, that you would remind us, Lord, of how great a forgiveness we've been given. Because from that place of forgiveness, Lord, we will be able to love much. We'll be able to love much. And so, Father, I thank you for that. I ask you to bless your people. I ask you to bring them into great experiences this week, even as you did this morning for me, Lord, in worship, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you would just touch, you would move on their hearts, you would bring them into a great, new, sustainable experience with you and Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.